PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. It's very nice to have you with me for another edition of your program, Happy Station, as we heard from PCJ Radio International. Now, this is the first new show for the season, and I'll explain that in a minute, after we had our, not really a break because we were doing other shows, but a show post-travel. Yes, post-travel, because as you probably are aware, from the 26th of January, which was last month, until actually just today, the recording of the show, I was doing a little bit of traveling. A little bit of traveling, which was actually a lot of fun. Now, technically, actually, the show is, well, how would I put it? Actually, I'm still traveling at the moment until the end of the month, but I'm not in Europe as we speak. I am somewhere else, and I'll tell you about that on next week's program. Now, I did spend time in Europe, and we did do another European tour. Very different from the one that we did late last year, in that it was more or less the same cities, but we did them in the opposite direction. Now, if you'd heard those programs, we did Paris, Amsterdam, Berlin, and then Stuttgart, and also Esslingen. This time we did it in reverse, except minus Berlin, because there just wasn't enough time. So on today's program, I'll be telling you about what exactly was going on over the few weeks that I was doing the trip. So we're going to begin with a group from Germany called Die Preisen, and the song is called Pop Music.
Ich bin hier um zu sagen
Popmusik.
Ich mag
Popmusik
jeden Tag. Sing ich dir was vor, hast du Popmusik im Ohr?
Popmusik.
Ich mag
Popmusik
jeden Tag. Sing ich dir was vor, hast du Popmusik im Ohr? Ich sag,
Baby, Baby,
ich sag,
ha, 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 ha.
In diesem Film bist du der Star.
Ah, ja, ja.
Ich sag,
ha, hu, ha.
Ich sag,
beep, 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 beep.
Für drei Minuten werden deine Träume wahr.
Yeah!
Popmusik.
Ich mag
Popmusik
jeden Tag. Sing ich dir was vor, hast du Popmusik im Ohr?
Popmusik.
Ich mag
Popmusik
jeden Tag. Sing ich dir was vor, hast du Popmusik im Ohr? Ich sag,
hey, ho.
Dein Herz schlägt schneller mit jedem Beat. Ich sag,
oh, 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 oh.
Ich sag,
oh, 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 oh.
Mach lauter. Denn für dich gibt's dieses Lied.
Für dich gibt's dieses Lied.
Popmusik.
Ich mag
Popmusik
jeden Tag.
Ich bin hier um zu sagen
Popmusik.
Ich mag
Popmusik
jeden Tag. Sing ich dir was vor, hast du Popmusik im Ohr?
Weißt du eigentlich, was Popmusik kann? Sie ist tanzbar und regt zum Nachdenken an. Es geht um Billy Pop, Pop, Billy Pop, Pop, Billy Pop, Pop, Pop. Die Definition von Popmusik ist hinlänglich bekannt. Das ist hoch, hoch, hoch interessant. Es geht um Billy Pop, Pop, Billy Pop, Pop. Doch im Großen und im Ganzen geht's ums Tanzen.
Ich bin hier, um zu sagen
Popmusik.
Ich bin hier, um zu sagen,
Popmusik.
Jeden Tag. Sing ich dir was vor.
Aber ich bin dir und singe
Popmusik.
Ich mag
Popmusik.
Jeden Tag.
Ich bin dir, um zu sagen, dass eigentlich
Popmusik
toll ist.
The German group Die Preisen with Pop Music. That's spelt not M-U-S-I-C, but M-U-S-I-K. Well, my Germany trip this year was a little bit different from the one last year, actually only a number of weeks ago. Now, you may remember when we did that series of traveling through Europe. This one, we're all going to combine it into one show, because we're not going to just focus on one place, but rather the whole trip in general. We started off in Paris, then up to Amsterdam, Berlin, Stuttgart, and then Esslingen. Well, this time, actually, it was the same places, minus the city of Berlin, but we did it in reverse. Now, the only reason why Berlin was left out this time was because of scheduling. There just wasn't enough time to actually head to Berlin this time, but I will be heading there in a few months from now, so we'll talk about that when we do that. Now, I left Taiwan on the 26th of January and headed to the airport around 11:30 in the evening, local Taiwan time, to catch the China Airlines flight to Frankfurt. Now, China Airlines is not Air China. They're two completely different airlines. Air China is China's national carrier. China Airlines is Taiwan's national carrier. The flight we took was on a Boeing 747. Not exactly a new plane, but a plane that had been remodeled and completely refurbished. And it was lovely. It was absolutely lovely. Nice wide seats. Also, flying in business class also helped. Nice wide seats and a very nice interior. Now, the nice thing about flying direct, because the last year when we flew to Paris, we flew via Hong Kong. This was a direct flight, which means it's about 2.5 hours shorter. So the just over 10-hour flight wasn't that bad, I have to say. Now, because it was at night when I left, by the time I arrived in Frankfurt, it was the early morning hours. So I did manage to get a few hours sleep on the plane. Something else that I realized on this flight, I've flown China Airlines before, it was the first flight from China Airlines that I took that I was amazed, because they actually had internet service aboard the plane. The cost was $25 for the whole flight. So I did sign up for it, and it is kind of fun and interesting chatting to people on Facebook while you're flying at, 40,000 feet in the air. So after doing a little bit of that, having a few drinks, getting some shut-eye, we landed at the Frankfurt International Airport. And I have to say, I do enjoy flying through Frankfurt. It was very, very fast going through customs and immigration and also collecting the luggage. Now, there was only one thing that was slightly inconvenient that kind of put me in a bit of a, not a bad mood, but you know when you're flying for that period of time, you land and you just want to get to your destination as soon as possible, you know. Well, it was the fact that we arrived at a different terminal from the one that I needed to land at to take the train to Stuttgart. But actually, that wasn't too much of a problem. It was only a 10-minute bus ride from one terminal to the next. So after I arrived at the correct terminal, I then proceeded to go to the Deutsche Bahn counter to buy my train ticket from Frankfurt to Stuttgart, which was approximately 65 euros. It's a very short train journey. And I have to say one thing. If you love traveling by train like I do, Deutsche Bahn is fantastic. I love the interiors of their carriages, and also their service. Now, one of the things that I do enjoy the most traveling by train is going to the dining car, which is exactly what I did, even though I had an airline breakfast on the flight just before we landed at Frankfurt. But I decided, you know, that really wasn't enough and I needed more caffeine. So I headed to the dining car and just stayed there, checking emails and looking out the window at the wonderful countryside as we made our way from Frankfurt to Stuttgart. Arriving in Stuttgart at around 10:30 in the morning. Now, this is where the fun began. Because I have a number of SIM cards, you know, the kind of cards that go into your phone for various different countries. So that way I don't have to use roaming charges for my Taiwan number when I'm traveling. So I arrived in Stuttgart, put the SIM card in my phone, and realized there was a slight problem. The problem was there wasn't any more money on that card. So I then proceeded to find a Vodafone shop, which is the number that I was using for my time in Germany. Now, I had to get that number working right away because the friends that I was staying with who live in Esslingen, which is about 14 kilometers away, knew approximately around the time that I was arriving in Stuttgart, but didn't know exactly when I arrived, and I had no way to communicate with them. But luckily, when I'd arrived in Stuttgart, the shops started opening. So I found Vodafone and then called my good friend Christine, and she came and she collected me, and then we headed to their house in Esslingen, in which is like almost one of the suburb cities of Stuttgart. Now, you may remember when I talked about Esslingen the last time, it's a very old city. It goes back to the 8th century. In fact, actually a little bit older than that, because it goes back even further from even the Roman times they found through archaeological searches in the area. So after she collected me and we had a little bit of lunch, I took a bit of a nap. Not too much of one, because when you're flying through different time zones, my policy is that if you arrive in the morning, even though you've had a very, very long flight, the best thing you can do is at least try to stay awake for as much as possible. That way, your body adjusts a lot easier to the time changes. So, that's what I did. In fact, I mean, the first day itself, I really didn't do very much. I really only headed to the city of Esslingen, which is where they live. It's only about a 10-minute walk. And found a cafe that I frequented the last time that I was there. And this is amazing. Now, I was there in the beginning of October. The beginning of October. That would be the approximate time. So that's actually, it's not exactly around the corner, but it was a cafe that I was going to all the time when I was there last time. And oddly enough, the young woman who works in the cafe remembered me, which was, I was a little bit shocked about that. I think that's because my German is so incredibly funny when spoken that, you know, she probably hadn't heard somebody speak German like that in a, you know, since. So I walked in, I was getting ready to order. She paused and she said, "You." And I, "Yeah, it's me." And then she started to say, "Yeah, you were here just not, you know, a few months ago." So she knew exactly what I was going to have. So I stayed there for a bit and then headed back to my friend's place, Christine and Christoph, for the evening. And then sort of made it to bed relatively early for me, which was around 11 o'clock in the evening, because I usually don't go to bed until much, much later. After having a pretty decent sleep for a few hours and waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I began my day, or my first official day, of my trip in Germany. Thank you.
unforgettable. That's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far. Like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. That someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Nat King Cole and Unforgettable. On my second day in Esslingen, I decided, well, I've seen Esslingen before. One of the first things that I had to do was head to the train station to book my ticket to Amsterdam. So after I did that, which was at the central station, I decided to get a little bit of lunch. And even though it was a beautiful sunny day, it was a little bit cold, so I decided I wanted some soup. I know, it's one of those weird things that happens every now and again. You go, I just want some soup. So I decided to go to a Chinese restaurant. Now you're thinking, wait a second, I live in Taiwan and I'm going to a Chinese restaurant in Essingen, Germany. Because I wanted a specific type of soup. Well, I found a Chinese restaurant which is just around the corner from the train station. Walked in and said hello to the woman behind the counter and the gentleman behind the counter, and then proceeded to order. Well, it didn't go exactly like I had planned, because neither of them could speak Chinese. Yes, I decided to order in Chinese because I didn't quite know the name of the soup that I wanted in German, so I ordered it in Chinese. Well, they kind of looked at me funny and stared. I then repeated exactly what I'd wanted, and then they spoke bunga, 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 bunga. And I realized, well, they weren't Chinese, they were Vietnamese. So, well, of course, that didn't work, so we did have to finally, you know, communicate in German. The soup that I ordered, it was the right name, and they did have pictures, and I thought, okay, I just want to make sure the translation is correct, and yes, that is the one. But it was a little bit different. It wasn't exactly Chinese. It wasn't exactly Vietnamese. It wasn't even Thai. It was a mixture of... I mean, it was good. I'm not saying it was bad. It was very good. But it wasn't exactly what I was picturing. So anyway, after I had that, I took the train into Stuttgart. Now, I've been to Germany a number of times, but Stuttgart is one of those cities that I really hadn't had much of a chance to really see and visit. So after taking the 10-minute train journey from Esslingen to Stuttgart, I arrived at the main train station. When you walk out of the Stuttgart train station, the first thing you see, well, there's a big shopping complex, and then a really big, long street that goes on for approximately 5 kilometers. It's about that much. And it's just one store after the next on either side. There is no traffic on the street, so you can basically walk anywhere you want. But it is a little bit boring. And a lot of people would say Stuttgart is not really a nice city. Now, most of Stuttgart was destroyed during World War II. And the area where you come out of the train station is the sort of new area. So it was built in the 1950s, 60s, post-war architecture that you find in many parts of Germany, which is not exactly the nicest, I have to say. It's all kind of industrial looking and stuff, but they do their best to make it as nice as possible. There are some older areas, of course, in Stuttgart, which are absolutely lovely. Buildings and castles that weren't destroyed after the Second World War, and those have been refurbished and remodeled to their original splendor. The train station in Stuttgart is a bit of a mess at the moment, because it's one of those train stations, when the trains pull in, they go to the platform and then they stop. Well, like they always do everywhere else. But then when they depart, they back out, do a turn, and then continue on their way. So it's not the train stations where the stations pull in and then continue. They have to go in, and then they back out, and then they go wherever they're going. Now, this is a bit of an inefficient way, I have to say, to run a train station, because of the time that it does take, you know, to go in, and then it's a little bit annoying, I have to say, to be perfectly honest. But the city of Stuttgart have decided to completely redo the station. So they're building a new station right underneath the original one, where the trains will pull in and then continue on their way. Now, this is a project that's expected to take 20 to 25 years. And I can hear some of you going, whoa, how can it take that long to build a train station? Well, it's not just the train station that they're building underground, but it's also the whole network of tracks that are a few kilometers around the station that they have to redo, pass in new places. So the trains, instead of stopping at the station and then pulling out, can just go right through to the other side and on their way. So it really is an ongoing project. Now, when you arrive at the platform, and so you walk to the main hall at the Stuttgart train station, there's these two very long corridors. And it is an interesting thing to walk down, because on either side there are holes, so you can see the construction work going on either side. And then there are murals of some well-known train stations from around the world. Train stations like Grand Central in New York, London, Paris, Japan, Australia, and many other countries. So you get this, and even Cuba. Yeah, there's even one of a railway station from Holguín in Cuba on the wall. So you walk down this corridor, and then you get to the main hall, and then you're out the station. So it is going to take some time, and I have a feeling that next time I go back, and when I keep going back, probably in 10 years from now, we go, oh yeah, they just put something else there. They just got, they achieved the 10-year mark. So anyway, while walking around in Stuttgart, I did have a chance to see some of the older parts of the city that I hadn't really explored before. One place that is rather interesting is the mayor's office. Now, I'd arrived at the mayor's office at probably the exact appropriate time for something. Now, the building is not exactly beautiful. It's, well, it's not something that you would even glance at if you were walking by. But there was something that did get my attention when I appeared just around the corner and saw this monstrosity in front of me. It wasn't the monstrosity that drew my attention. It was this. Yes, the bell tower of the mayor's office. And it, like I said, it was just by accident when I realized what time it was and that whole thing started up. Otherwise, I literally would have missed it. But when you actually hear the bell towers, it actually does. It was actually quite nice to see. It really was quite nice to see and to experience the surroundings. But if you do go there, you'd probably walk right by the building. You wouldn't even give it a second glance because it's so incredibly dull. All right. Time now for more music. As I spent a couple of days in Stuttgart, and we now have to head to the Netherlands. So here's a German singer singing in Dutch. The song is called Gondola, Gondoli.
Gondola, gondola, gondoli. Gondola, gondola.
Zacht schijnt het maantje over het water en in een gondel fluistert men zacht.
Gondola, gondola, gondoli. Gondola, gondola.
Hij zingt een liedje voor een lief meisje en het leuke feestje klinkt door de nacht.
Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola.
Zij lacht naar hem, hij fluistert een woord en nergens wordt verder de stilte verstoord. Het liedje klinkt door het duister. Hier stil en ik luister, hoor slechts romantisch gefluister, hier bij het licht van de maan.
Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola. Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola.
Het lijkt of de gondola zachtjes gaan zweven, hier is het leven vol romantiek.
Gondola, 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 gondoli.
Boven het water flonkeren de sterren en ik hoor van verre zachte muziek.
Gondola, gondola, gondola.
Lacht naar hem, hij fluistert een woord en nergens wordt verder de stilte verstoord. Het liedje klinkt door het duister, het is hier stil en ik luister. Ik hoor slechts romantisch gefluister, hier bij het licht van de maan.
Gondola, gondola, gondoli, gondola, gondola.
Caterina Valente singing in Dutch the song Gondoli, Gondola. So I spent a few days, like I said, in Essingen and Stuttgart, and then made my way to Amsterdam. The train journey from Stuttgart to Amsterdam is approximately 5 hours and 55 minutes, with a 45-minute stopover in the city of Düsseldorf. It was actually an easy stop because you don't even have to change platform. You just get off that one train as it goes one place else, and then you get on another train which goes to Amsterdam. When I arrived in Amsterdam, it was windy. And that's a bit of an understatement. It was very windy. I then proceeded first to the international counter of NS to book my train ticket, which I needed for a few days later to Paris, and then went to the domestic counter to book my ticket to Almere Port to visit Tom. Something that I realized this time, and I didn't pay much attention the last time, is there are two ticket prices. Now, the ticket to Almere Port should cost €5.50. It ended up costing €6, and that was €1 more than I expected. And actually, it was my mistake. It was my mistake, because if I'd used the ticket dispenser, the machine to buy the tickets, you pay €5.50. But instead, you go to the counter, and you have the friendly service of train personnel, and you pay €1 more. I didn't think it was much worth it, but anyway, that's the way it is. Made my way to Almere Port, and spent a lovely few days visiting Tom, and the beautiful view from his flat. And I actually had a lot of work to do when I was there, because of many LPs, many, but just a few, a handful, and tapes that had to be packed up for shipping to Taiwan. So after spending an afternoon packing those up, they were eventually then delivered to the exporter that will put them in a container and send them to Taiwan. So I think they'll be arriving in about 6 or 7 weeks, because they're going by boat, you see. Yes. But at Tom's place, actually, I had a wonderful evening. Yes, drinking wine and chatting about a wide variety of things. Things that are very, of course, very personal. We're not going to talk about on the program. And, yes, it was a very delightful, wonderful, wonderful time. Now, during my time in Holland, I only managed to go one afternoon to Amsterdam because I had to pick up some things to bring back. And some friends of mine, of course, they said, can you bring me back some cheese? Now, Holland, of course, is known for, they have many kinds of cheeses, but there's one cheese that they're really known for, which is Gouda, which is a Gouda cheese. Get it? Gouda, it doesn't matter. It is one of my favorite cheeses. And it is amazing what the Dutch have been able to do with this cheese. Now, Gouda by itself is just, well, plain ordinary cheese. But the concoctions and the variety of Gouda cheeses is quite extraordinary. There's a little cheese shop in Amsterdam that I've known for a number of years. So I headed off to them. And what I like about this cheese shop is that they do have such a variety of cheeses, and you can sample every single one. Now, the last time, I bought maybe 4 or 5. This time it was a little bit more. And I wanted to try different combinations. So just to give you an example of some of the cheeses that I bought. Well, there was regular Gouda, which is the unflavored, basic, you know, natural Gouda. There is fine herbs, there is pepper, there is paprika, there is chili pepper, there is pesto, there is basil, there is rosemary. Not the same rosemary as the one who worked with Tom, but a rosemary herb Gouda. There is truffle, there is regular mushroom. And I say regular mushroom because I am talking about Amsterdam, if you know what I mean. They even have, which was onion Gouda, garlic Gouda. A sweet Gouda. Yes, a sugarcane Gouda. It was very peculiar. They even had beer-flavored Gouda, gin-flavored Gouda. I mean, the list, a curry Gouda. What was the other one? Tandoori chicken Gouda. I mean, it is, the list went on and on and on and on and on. If there was a flavor you were thinking of, they would probably have it. And I made this joke, and the woman laughed. I said, you have so many Gouda cheeses here, but none of them really taste like Gouda. She said, no, we do have one, which is the their basic natural one. But it's interesting how and what you can do with the cheese. The Dutch are very creative when it comes to Gouda cheeses and what they do with them. Because it's rather extraordinary. I mean, there's some combinations. I mean, a beer-flavored Gouda. I never would have guessed or thought of a beer-flavored Gouda. So, yes, it was an interesting, it was a nice little shop, not too far from the train station. Now, there are some people that would say Amsterdam is very touristy. Well, it is. It is very, very touristy. I mean, you can walk out of the train station, walk for quite some time, and not even hear Dutch. If you want to hear Dutch and really experience Amsterdam, you have to get outside the main tourist area to more residential areas where you can really experience the Amsterdam lifestyle, which is eventually what I did. And, you know, there's something very special about the city. You know, everybody has their favorite cities, and I have a number of favorite cities. And they're my favorites for all sorts of reasons. And I can't, if you were to say, what is your favorite city of all time? I can't really answer that. I can list my favorite cities and give you the reasons why. And Amsterdam happens to be one of them. I can't really place it, and there's too many reasons why. It is one of my favorite cities. Not around the train station, where it's all tourist, but when you get out of that area, it is one of my favorite places because you... Which is the foods. The foods are also quite extraordinary. When I was at Tom's Place, I did have... two things. One thing that I've had before, which is a raw herring, and you eat it with onions, which is quite delicious. And then a dish that came afterward, and I don't remember the name of it. It was absolutely delicious. There was a sausage that you eat with it. If I remember correctly, it was described as, you know, a real country Dutch dish. Very, very nice. Very, very nice indeed. And... you know, there's a lot of people, of course, when they think of good food. You know, the Netherlands is not exactly the first place that people think of when they think of good food in Europe. They automatically think of Paris. But there are some very good foods in the Netherlands. You know, not in the tourist areas, but you get out of the tourist areas, you find some really nice places, and there's some quite delicious things to try. So after... all that was done and all the tapes were packed and everything. Then I had to make my way to Paris. Paris, which was my departing city from Europe, and also to visit a good friend of mine who lives at the Place de la République in the in Paris North. So let's now have a little bit more music, and then we come back, we talk about Paris. Ah, oui, Paris. Quincy Jones and his orchestra on the street where you live. Quincy Jones and his orchestra with On the Street Where You Live from the album Bossa Nova, or rather big band Bossa Nova. You're listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International, and we're talking today about our most recent trip to Europe, even though we had one just even, you know, a couple of months ago. But we went back again. We enjoyed it so much. Anyway, the final leg of my trip was Paris, the city of lights. As you are aware, a lot has happened since the trip that we made in October. There were the terrorist attacks that took place in a number of locations in Paris just a few weeks after we were there. And when I arrived in Paris, I have to say, I felt it immediately. Now, after taking the train from Amsterdam to Paris on the Thalys train, I arrived at the Paris North Railway Station. And something that I actually, you knew right away that the city was still going through something. Because at the Paris North Railway Station, this is something that I had never seen in the railway station before, there were the kind of scanners that you'd find in airports for people getting on trains and getting off trains. And instead of the very wide walkway, it was wide, it got narrow, 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 and more narrow, and then one line of people. Now, they weren't checking everybody. They were just checking some people at random. So I made it through very quickly. Nobody even asked me any questions. Now, the fun part was when I exited the station. Now, anybody who follows the news will know of a company called Uber, which is a taxi service. And the Parisian taxi drivers are really upset at Uber for a number of reasons. Well, just a few days before I arrived, the taxi drivers in Paris had a strike. And the day that I arrived, the train drivers who drive the trains from Paris North to the Charles de Gaulle Airport had a strike. Now, I was staying at a friend of mine who lives on Rue de la République, which is only a 10-minute walk from Place de la République, Republic Square, which from the Paris North Railway Station is approximately 10-15 minutes and around 10 euros. So I arrived in Paris at around 6:45, and I decided, well, it'd be a lot of traffic, so I'm going to go and I'll have a drink first, and then get a taxi and head off to her place. Well, it didn't really work out the way I thought it would. It took more than 2 hours, yes, more than 2 hours, and a trip that should take no longer than maybe 10-15 minutes, and ended up costing 17 euros. Now, the 17 euros, which was 7 euros more than what it normally should cost, was not to do with the strike. It's because there was some type of another kind of strike. You know, as I always tell friends of mine, I say, you know, if striking was an Olympic sport, the French would be winning gold medals, I'll tell you that. No, there was some other strike taking place in Republic Square. So every time the taxi driver would go down a street, he'd say something in French, which I'm not going to repeat here. Oh, mon Dieu, and then another word. Yeah, I think you know what I mean. Have to turn around and go around it because all the streets were blocked. Eventually, when I did make it, it was after 8 o'clock, and we went out for dinner, and then it was a Friday, so Tiffany had to work, and her kids were at school, so I decided to take the day to explore Paris. And even to this day, I have mixed feelings about the place. It is one of my favorite cities, but I like it for different reasons. Now, Paris is one of those cities that I think the city works on its stomach, because no matter where you go, you can always find really good food. Doesn't matter. You can go anywhere in Paris and find really good food. Good food is available every corner, every street, no matter where you go. So after spending the whole day, I think I must have walked around 15 or 20 kilometers, visiting places that I had known before and places that I'd wanted to go to again, and trying a variety of foods, I headed back to her place. And we chatted the evening, and then the following day we went out again, and we went to this one restaurant, which it was extraordinary. It's the kind of restaurant that I think you could only ever experience maybe watching a film. It looked like an old section of Paris from the 1930s that was left there and untouched. The decor hadn't been touched. The tables hadn't been touched. The chairs, the waiters and waitresses were probably also from the same period. And they had a very simple menu. Simple menu meaning not a wide variety of choices. There was only 10 things on the menu. And we ordered the filet mignon, both of us. And it was extraordinary. It was wonderful. It was really, you know, it was out of the tourist area, because I hate tourist areas. And it's the kind of place where normal Parisians maybe go for a lunch on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. And there was a nice market nearby. But what was even more extraordinary was this little street that we discovered. She'd been living in Paris for a number of years. She's originally from Taiwan, and she didn't recognize the area. So we walked down the street, and on either side was the most extraordinary thing. There was a little plaque on the wall. The street goes back to the 17th century. And it was the area of Paris where the aristocrats and any people with money would go to do their shopping for their furniture, for their house or country home or whatever it is. And today, of course, it's lined up with the same kind of shops, but selling more modern, very design type lamps and furniture and refurbishing of kitchens. Also quite extraordinary because the street itself, it's the feeling that you get just walking down this little street that kind of winds around and goes this way and this way and this way. Very, very narrow. And you have all these very, very interesting shops on either side. The problem, of course, was deciding which ones to go in because of the amount of time that we only had that day. But, So my final day in Paris before coming back to Taiwan was an interesting one, because I'd been to Paris before. And the nice thing about cities like Paris or Berlin or Amsterdam or Esslingen is that when you go a number of times, you can always find something new and interesting, which is always my goal when I go back to cities that I love going to, is I've been here before. I have to find something new and interesting. And you can always find something new and interesting in Paris. That is certainly true. Anyway, we are nearly out of time. I can't believe how time has just flown by. Next week, we will have more on the program. What is it going to be? Well, you'll have to tune in. We're going to end today with Perry Como and Kokamo. So until next time, so long, au revoir, au wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Talk to me, baby, whisper in my ear. Talk to me, baby, whisper in my ear. Come a little closer, don't have no fear.
Don't you know I love you so?
Told me, heard what you said. Heard what you told me, heard what you said. Don't you worry, my pretty, don't lose my head. On her elbows, dimples on her knees. There's dimples on her elbows, dimples on her knees. She thrills and thrills me just a little squeeze. Don't you know, Kokomo, that I love you so? Talk, talk, talk to me, baby, whisper in my ear. Oh, talk to me, baby, whisper in my ear. Come a little closer, don't you have no fear.
Don't you know?
Don't you know,
I love you, Kokomo! Kokomo!